It is good to be with the people of Trinity Covenant Church this morning, and quite an honor to be invited to preach, so thank you for this incredible invitation. Got my little props up here. One of the wonders of my life is how the same God who spoke to Eve and to Adam in the garden also spoke to Abraham, telling him to leave his home and travel to a place that he didn't know. It is the same God who spoke to Moses in the burning bush. And then he talked to him again and again. So many times, in fact, our Bible records that God talked to Moses as one talks to a friend. It is the same God who talked to a couple of judges named Deborah and Gideon, to David when he was running from Saul, to Elijah in a still, small voice while he was running from King Ahab, to the many prophets, both women and men, that we can read about in our Old Testament. And there are many more accounts of God speaking to his people. Early on, Trinity, we pick up a theme of absolute truth. When God speaks, it's always a big deal. In the New Testament, our eternal God comes to earth in human form, and he would spend time with countless numbers of people speaking and modeling a life for us to see with our very eyes, life embodying God's very heart for his people. Our Bible captures how Jesus modeled this for people living among him, so that we would know even in 2019 how it was that we were to live. Jesus spoke to children. He spoke to the Samaritan outcasts, to tax collectors, prostitutes, lepers, the demonized, those caught in adultery, to the sick, to the self-righteous. Jesus wasn't soft on sin, but he understood sinners. Jesus understands sinners. And we keep reading, and God keeps speaking. From Genesis to Revelation, God's voice is present. And although not recorded in a collection of scriptures for all of the world to read, I am here to bear witness today that in February of 2016, this very same God, well, he spoke to 8-year-old Adam Daly. The ultimate purpose of all of revelation from God is so that we can have a personal relationship with our Creator. Our Bible speaks of a God who not only exists, he is also personally involved in the lives of his people, all of them, including 8-year-old boys and this entire congregation here this morning. So eyes up, everyone. God's desire is to be involved with you. In your life, you are a big deal to God. And so when God speaks, it's always a big deal. We're going to pray, and I'm going to invite you to extend your hands out in a posture of, Lord, we want to receive from you this morning. Lord, take my words and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I once read a sticky quote. You know, one that you read and then you can't stop pondering or repeating out loud to yourself. Well, this sticky quote is by 4th century philosopher and church father, Saint Augustine. And he says, when the Bible speaks, God speaks. And Trinity, I want to be a woman who hears God's voice, to be so attentive, to pay attention and to know it's him when he speaks. I want to be able to teach others to be able to listen for his voice too. And there are many ways that God speaks, and I'd like to suggest today that it's right here. It's God's word, the Bible that's going to be our primary way to hear God's voice today. And in Scripture, we get glimpses of how God used prayer, people or events, dreams. He used prophecy, his creation, and even a person's desires and pain to get their attention back on him. It's also clear in these biblical stories that sometimes people listened. Sometimes they had faith and obeyed, but not always. Can you relate? God is always working, always doing something in our lives, but we don't always see it. We don't always hear it. We don't always recognize that God is near. That still, small voice that God used with Elijah, that's a whisper. This isn't just God making it difficult to hear him, it's to draw us in close. And the act of taking on God's form, that's called transformation. We're created in God's image, so it's in our very core that we all want to be more like him, whether we realize it or not. And in my core, I want this transformation to include a relationship with God like Abraham or Moses had, one where God is my friend and speaks to me as such. In the Greek, our Bible has two different words for the English word, word. Logos is a consistent written word of God, the Bible, where we learn about God and his ways. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. And the second Greek word for word is rhema, which is the instant and personal speaking of God to us. It is through a rhema word that we can know God subjectively and experientially. A rhema word is God breathed, alive with movement and breath. To hear God, we must believe that God cares about the nitty-gritty details of our lives. To be transformed inwardly, we need to open ourselves to the Lord so his Logos word can become his rhema word to us. A rhema word is for a particular time, season, and circumstance. A word that often leaps off of the page and speaks to you, to your heart, to your mind, and to your soul. A rhema word from God will bring life. It will sustain you, and it will draw you back to God time and time again. I believe God has a rhema word for all, a rhema word that digs deep into not only what you need at that deep level, but also what God wants to do with you in your life, and what God wants to do with this community here at Trinity, and in this larger community of Manchester, and this larger community of Hartford. And I'd even go as far as to say is what God wants to do with you to advance his kingdom in this world. We gotta listen. In 2016, about 30 elementary kids and I spent the better part of an hour together each Sunday morning, practicing listening for God. We did it through a variety of ways of reading the scriptures, and in this season, we were specifically reading the stories of Jesus. Each week, we would open in prayer and ask God, as we read his Logos, would he please give us a rhema? Kids love learning languages, and it was awesome to hear them both understand and use the Greek, even in these little, simple ways. Well, our first practice, asking God for a rhema, was through the practice of one word. Do you know this practice? Is that familiar here? One word. Every kiddo did settle on a word to help give them focus through their year, and sometime I'll have to tell you more about how that unfolded, because it really was amazing how these kids engaged. But we continued to practice our listening skills through reading different Bible translations, through Lectio Divina, through engaging our imaginations. And that's another one that kids always excel at. Well, we approached the season of Lent. We began to spend time specifically on the stories of Jesus and his final week of human living. By the time Holy Week would arrive, we wanted to know the significance of each of our days of focus and celebration that week. So we learned about Passover and enjoyed quite a feast at our Seder meal. We talked about the plot to kill Jesus, which was a really hard one for all of us to wrap our minds around. And then we had fun acting out the woman anointing Jesus at Bethany. You know the story of the woman who poured perfume from her alabaster jar over Jesus' head? I wish I had a picture of that one. We learned about Judas agreeing to betray Jesus and that just 30 pieces of silver was his payout, enough money to get by on for just about 5 weeks. We read about the Last Supper and spent a whole Sunday learning more about the sacrament of communion. And so it was on this particular Sunday that our lesson came from the second half of Matthew 26. As you listen to me read the scripture this morning, I'm going to invite you to close your eyes, just gently, and engage your imaginations. Allow yourself to get lost in the story. Picture the scene, the smells, the sounds. Do you taste anything? Imagine that you are really there. What's the weather like? Is there someone in the story that you identify with? How do you feel, or what questions do you want to ask Jesus? Maybe you want to ask God for a rhema this morning. But I invite you to sit back, to relax, to take a deep breath, close your eyes, and listen to the word of the Lord. So this is a reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, beginning with verse 31. On the way, Jesus told them, "Tonight, all of you will desert me. For the scriptures say, God will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there." Peter declared, "Even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, Peter. This very night before the rooster crows, you will deny 3 times that you even know me." "No," Peter insisted. "Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the other disciples vowed the same. Then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and he said, "Sit here a while I go over there to pray." He took Peter and Zebedee's 2 sons, James and John, and he became anguished, distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. This is the word of the Lord. When you're ready, I invite you to open your eyes, and we're actually going to take about 30 seconds and share with the person next to us what you saw, felt, or heard. That really means about 15 seconds each of sharing. It's going to go fast, and when I ring my bell, time's up. Are you ready? 30 seconds. I hope everyone had a chance to share just a little bit, and maybe you can share more later. It really can be an exciting way to engage Scripture, to listen to it imaginatively. But in our class that day, we continued reading from Matthew 26, the part where we did, but all the way through the end of the chapter. So we ended with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane with some sleepy disciples, and then we would follow Jesus all the way through his arrest and then his time in front of the council. We had talked a lot about symbolism in our class, and we were creating our own cartons of resurrection eggs, choosing a symbol from each week's story to help us remember not only the individual story, but sort of the series of events. We were creating a timeline with our eggs. And as much of our story this week took place in the Garden of Gethsemane, which literally means olive press, I thought maybe our symbol would end up being an olive tree or a piece of wood. But I would be surprised. We were in our final stations that morning, and before I could finish, Adam had his hand in the air. Pastor Diane, I know the symbol. I know the symbol. Now, Adam had been in our class less than a year. He was adopted with his 3 birth siblings after years of foster care just about 6 months previous. And Adam is naturally hilarious. He's a kinesthetic learner. He's really good with his hands, and at the age of 8, a little bit of a wild card. But as he raised his hand, I admit, the first thing that came to mind was, oh no, please, Adam, don't pick the servant's bloody ear for the symbol. But before I could even call on him, Adam blurted out, Pastor Diane, the rooster is the symbol. And at that, we heard the closing song begin to be sung in the sanctuary. The adults were ending early that morning, and we now had about 5 minutes to wrap things up. That happens sometimes in children's ministry. But we asked the kids to simply write or draw a quick picture on a sheet of paper what they thought the week's symbol might be. And we promised that next week we would announce the symbol and pick up where we left off. As we were closing in prayer, parents were already beginning to arrive to pick up their kids, and as Adam passed me his sheet of paper, he said, Pastor Diane, the rooster is the symbol, and today God gave me a rhema. Of course, I opened up his sheet of paper as quickly as I could, and here is the treasure I found. Can you read this? He just had learned cursive and was kind of practicing it out, but it says, sometimes I deny Jesus with my words and actions, but Jesus still loves me. This is a rhema word indeed, Adam. Our scripture passage was a longer one than usual that day, and there was so much in it. We actually happened to focus more on the disciples falling asleep, Jesus's interactions with his father, and then on his arrest, more so than on Peter's denial. But 8-year-old Adam, he got a rhema anyway. He paid attention to the reading of God's word, and God spoke to him. He got it. I'm going to show a quick video. It's just a visual recap of the parts of the story that God revealed to Adam in our passage.
Showing you.
So the rooster is a symbol of Peter's denial of Jesus. And even though Peter denied Jesus 3 times, Jesus continued to love Peter. Doesn't this give you hope? Yeah. Our scope and sequence were so tight, and our lesson plans were already written for the next 3 Sundays before Easter. We wanted to finish the story, and I wondered, oh man, do we have time? Can we fit in more? But I could see how clearly this was an opportunity to jump on board with what God was already doing. So I said yes, trusting God with the outcome. With a further hoped-for desire that somehow God might use this experience to grow Adam's confidence, or even just to communicate to him how much God loved him and how much he was valued in our class, I did what any seasoned children's pastor does. I got onto Pinterest. I searched for some fast inspiration that might be something specific to Adam's learning style. And up popped a lesson plan for making Pablo Picasso-like roosters. When I read a little bit more about Pablo, I knew this was it. We'd punt on our original plan and see what else we could learn about the rooster. I knew it would be a whirlwind class, just an hour to introduce the artist Picasso and then to create roosters of our own in his cubist style, somehow still keeping the focus on what Adam and the Holy Spirit had revealed the week before. I knew I needed extra support, so I called on a member of our church who also was a local elementary school art teacher, and she was delighted to jump in. As we worked on the roosters that morning, we further engaged the passage. Now the hour went fast, no joke, but God helped it feel leisurely at the time. The kids were vulnerable, and they shared authentically about times they've made poor choices and times they've made really good ones, too. In both, God loves them. Nothing they can say or do or think can change his abundant love for them or for you. In the safe space of our classroom, these kids understood that day that they were beloved, that they were gifted, and yes, I'd say even destined for sainthood. They understood that they were a big deal to God, that they are a big deal to God. And when God speaks, it's always a big deal. It was beautiful. The roosters were beautiful, and I could not wait for them to be shared. You do that with good news, right? We ended up hanging the roosters art gallery style in the place in the church where all people entering the building would pass through. And our beautiful roosters hung for about 3 weeks, spanning Palm Sunday and Easter. And during this time, we got to see many people from both our church family and those simply in the building for things like basketball or chess club or AA meetings, slowing down to lean in, to look in, to read the story of Picasso and the spiritual significance of the rooster that God had spoken to our children. They slowed down to look at the special detail of each of these roosters, and if they were lucky, they sometimes got a chance to have a very proud artist share with them in person, too. There is power when a child speaks the good news. By providing space for the kids to be the teachers, we enlarge their learning platform further. Teaching empowers kids to demonstrate and share knowledge, which further grows their understanding as well. Through this rooster project, I was reminded in a really tangible way that there is nothing more important than what God is doing in us and what God wants to say to us. And how often I was letting myself become distracted and overly consumed by life or giving priority to other things, trying to keep on track with lesson plans, it's silly. But getting to experience the significance of the rooster alongside Adam in this class has forever changed me. It wasn't the first time God had used a child to disciple me, and it wasn't the last. it won't be the last. To hear from God, we've actually got to believe that he's speaking, and we've got to let ourselves be interrupted long enough to actually listen. Adam modeled this for us so beautifully, and there's one more thing that Adam did, and it's a critical one. He tested it. How do we know what we're sensing is actually a message from God? In the Bible, prophets weren't prophets until their messages were tested. A big part of learning is going to come from who you happen to get to be learning alongside. Whose sermons are we listening to? Who are we reading and studying the Bible with? Who are we inviting in on the journey with us and sharing life's ups and downs with? Who are we encouraging? Who is encouraging us? We need people in our lives to teach us, listen to us, hold us accountable, and quite simply, church, just to laugh with us. And we need to be that for others too. Through journeying alongside other believers, we build into our lives people who help us review and remember those things God is teaching us. They help us test it too. And before we close this morning, I do want to quickly share 6 markers with you that you can use as a guide to help test those things. But to keep me concise, I'm mostly going to be quoting Pastor Rick Warren here. So 6 markers. Number 1, is what you think you are hearing consistent with the Bible? It has to line up with God's word. Number 2, will it make me more like Christ? Jesus is going to be the ultimate standard for us to live up to every single time. Number 3, does my church family confirm it? When in doubt, check it out. Number 4, is it consistent with how God has shaped me? I loved yesterday that a number of the women in this church gathered to look at spiritual gifts, because you can gain so much insight from how God has made you, how he's wired you, and it's key. Number 5, is it convicting rather than condemning? Do you know the difference? Conviction comes from God because he loves you. Condemnation comes from the devil, because actually he hates you. Conviction says you are a sinner. Condemnation says you are worthless. And Trinity, you are not worthless. You want to know how much you're valued, just look at the cross, right? And number 6, do I sense God's peace about it? Satan will drive you hard. The Holy Spirit will motivate you with gentleness. There are no stories in the Bible where Jesus is running anywhere. Jesus was never in a hurry. This is a lifelong message for a girl like me. Well, Trinity, Ash Wednesday, Jamie mentioned it, is actually this week already, the official beginning of Lent and our 6-week season of preparation for the celebration of Easter. Traditionally, it's a time of fasting and giving something up, yet it also invites us to make our hearts ready for remembering Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. It could be a perfect season to practice looking for God in your day-to-day and looking for his voice, listening for his voice. Trinity Covenant Church, God has a word for each one of you. You are a big deal to God. And so when God speaks, it's always a big deal. Let's pray. God, thank you for loving us so much that nothing we can ever do or say or think can change how much your love is for us. Would you grow in us a desire to read and meditate upon your word every single day? Help us to believe that you care about the details of our lives, and forgive us for the times, Jesus, when we've been so busy we couldn't hear from you. Forgive us for the noises and the voices we've listened to instead of yours, and help us to look for you and to welcome your interruptions. Surround us with friends who love you and can disciple us, and help us to test and discern you speaking. Remind us to examine our days so we can see all of the times you are weaved throughout. Help us to never stop practicing and seeking hard after you. God, would you let us hear from you this week? Would you give us a rhema? We humbly ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.